Perfect Way to Heaven. Written by Barbara Cartland. Narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1849. Elvira Carrisford repressed a yawn. She had been travelling since early morning, and the air in the coach was stale. The plump lady opposite had insisted that the windows be kept closed all the way for fear of catching a chill in the November air. Besides the plump lady, there was a cleric who licked his finger every time he turned a page in his missal, a farmer's wife who shared out her loaf of bread and cheese when everyone started getting hungry, two spinster sisters with yellow mittens, and a young man and a young lady in whom Elvira felt a particular interest. These two looked at each other so often and with such devotion that she was certain they were eloping. The young man's shirt cuffs were ragged, and his boots were scuffed. He was obviously poor, and the young lady looked as if she came from a more significant background. She wore calf leather shoes, and her hands were thrust deep into a white fur muff. Elvira decided that the young lady's parents had objected to her interest in the lowly clerk, and so she had agreed to run away with him. Elvira watched intently as the young man gently rearranged the young lady's cloak about her shoulders. With a pang, she wondered if anyone would ever look at her in such an adoring manner. She turned her head and stared out of the grimy window. The reason she found the young couple so fascinating was that they made her think of her own parents. They too had eloped. Her father had been poor, a musician, not a clerk, and her mother had come from a well-to-do and disapproving family. Elvira wondered if her mother had worn calf leather shoes on her flight, and if her father's boots had been scuffed and his cuffs ragged. She sighed and leaned her head against the window. She had never known her father. He had died before she was born. Her mother had died 2 years later, and Elvira had been brought up by her mother's elder sister, Aunt Willis. Aunt Willis had never married. She disliked men almost as much as she disliked children, and she had not been particularly pleased to be entrusted with little Elvira. But she was a religious woman and considered it her duty. It was also her duty to ensure that Elvira was brought up in such a way that she would never make the same mistake as her mother, Winona. "If one has to marry," said Aunt Willis, and she supposed that most girls, being of a weak disposition, could think of nothing else in life, "if one has to marry, then let it be to a gentleman, such as my elder sister Wilhelmina married." She had married Lord Baseheart, a rich and powerful grandee with a handsome castle and vast lands in the county of Hertfordshire. Not an impecunious, sickly musician like Elvira's father, who could not even live long enough to see his daughter brought into the world. "My poor silly sister Winona," Aunt Willis would often lament to Elvira. "I am sure she would be alive now if it was not for you and your father. His death broke her spirit, and your birth weakened her body. Nobody could save her." Here Aunt Willis would pause and blow her long, bony nose. But at least they both knew what it was to love," Elvira once unwisely ventured. "Love," exploded Aunt Willis. "Bah! An overrated emotion. Be sure you never succumb." Elvira thought it unlikely she ever would succumb, since it was Aunt Willis's habit never to invite anyone under 60 to visit.